There's a lot of days that you don't maybe have the motivation, but then you start to look around, you're like, what am I thinking? Are you kidding me? I mean, live such a charmed life and so lucky, and to have kids and do, they're healthy, and you know, and have a business and a practice and work with people you like to work with. I mean, there's no problem being motivated. I mean, you know, it's all there.
Sure.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Golden Rules Podcast, where we interview today's top music industry executives and hear how they got started, lessons they've learned over their careers, and their golden rules for life and business. I'm your host, Tim Gray, CEO of Grayscale Marketing, an award-winning agency right here in Music City, USA, Nashville, Tennessee. This is the Music Business Audio Experience. This is the podcast, and these are the Golden Rules. Welcome to episode 13.
Hello and welcome to the Golden Rules. I'm your host, Tim Gray. And today we are coming to you from the beautiful Starstruck Studios right here on Historic Music Row. We've got Mr. Derek Crownover in the house. Thank you, sir, for coming in. I really appreciate it.
Glad to be here.
Yeah. Well, for those of you that don't know Derek, Derek is a 22-year music industry veteran who's a current partner and the head of the entertainment law team, at Dickinson Wright Law Firm here in Nashville. He's been an adjunct professor at Belmont University, where he taught entertainment law. Over decades, he's spent his career helping artists, songwriters, publishers, labels, managers navigate the legalities of the music business. And over that time, his tenure, I believe he's overseen or worked with those teams that have sold over 450 million albums, have over a billion combined streams. He's won practically every legal award that you can, been named the best of everything you can imagine, from the best of the bar to best law firm and best lawyer for 9 years straight. He's been recently awarded the Attorney for Justice by the Tennessee Supreme Court, super lawyer, and every other super thing you can imagine. Almost brought you a cape today. He's a entrepreneur,
Cam,
leader, husband, father, friend, mentor, one of my favorite people in town, Derek Crownover.
And Tim's a client.
And I'm a client. I'm paying for this right now. And he's just incredible.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He does all the right things for all the right reasons, legal or not. And that's one of the things that really attracted me to him first. He's just a good dude. So I'm really excited that he's here today. I appreciate you so much for taking the time to come in.
Sure, man. Enjoyed it. And thank you for asking me to come. Yeah, share some maybe some stories about what not to do.
Absolutely.
Because I've been down some of those roads too.
Yeah.
So,
well,
yeah.
Other than the stuff I just rambled off, the things that I've learned either through LinkedIn or just knowing you from the last few years, I don't know the origin story. Like, where'd you start, man? Where was home, family, all the stuff?
St. Louis until about seven, then moved to Tullahoma, Tennessee. Just grew up playing sports and trying to keep my grades in good condition. Went to David Lipscomb, played baseball there, then went to Auburn, played baseball there. Thought I'd work in sports or TV and radio, and realized you had to wait for people to die to move up in TV and radio. So I said, well, I guess I'll go to law school. And missed baseball. Baseball was in my blood, and I became an agent. I think the way that music started was more innately. It wasn't, I didn't mean to, like a lot of folks mean to get into it. But growing up, I was an only child, and I was that kid that had an AM radio strapped to his bike and always listening to WLS out of Chicago and reading label copy and not knowing what the parentheses meant around a single, you know, that was the writer. But I knew the name was on there and consistent ones of songs that I liked, and later put it all together and was a lyric kind of geek and couldn't play or write music. But always loved it and spent all my extra money on it. And so it just kind of happened for me later that I wanted to live in Nashville. Everybody thinks that entertainment and sports are the same thing, and they're not. So I was a sports lawyer, but I got accepted or got a job at an entertainment law firm. And they allowed me to do kind of both. And the sports side faded away for me. I got intrigued by publishing and royalties and audits. Was more of an accounting person. And I didn't understand how all these pennies came in from around the world, and they came in and they never balanced. And so I was wanting to figure out how they balance. And that was where that some of that intrigue started back in 94, I guess. And worked at an entertainment law firm here, the 70 hours a week, and went out to shows, got to know a lot of folks from just a friendly level. And my practice just moved more and more that way on a daily basis, rather than me focusing on, hey, I want to be a music lawyer. I really was more of a sports lawyer who liked entrepreneurialism. And so the music business has become just so much more entrepreneurial now, where before it was like, okay, can I get a record deal? And after we get the record deal, then we do a management agreement, a publishing agreement. We just tip a domino over, and if it works, then we go back and renegotiate. But now it's so different. You're trying to build a team and collaborate and build a little small business. And then find out how the label is a good partner or not, or how this manager is a good partner or not, what their splits are. So it's almost like the business came around to what we were doing rather than trying to get in it, I guess. You know?
Sure.
Yeah, so that was, I know that's a long answer to your question, but
that's great.
Might bring you up to date, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know about the baseball thing. I think we spoke about it once, but I didn't realize you'd played that much.
Yeah.
I didn't know about...
Yeah.
Kind of the first gig, the transition into it either. Yeah. So that's really interesting.
I could be a catcher now, but I was a little middle infielder back then.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, yeah. But I loved it, and it was it was that time in my life where I knew that I probably was never going to be as good as the guys I was playing with, and so you just get to that point, you're like, I got to figure out Plan B.
Sure,
you know.
So you doubled down on your strengths.
Yeah, yeah, because they weren't hitting a slider. Yeah, that was not my strength. Yeah, yeah.
Yourself, a few of the other guests that's come on the show, and people that, you know, they travel so often, I haven't had a chance to have them on the show yet, have been incredibly impactful to me as a business owner, an entrepreneur, a leader. Who were some of the people over your career that really impacted you or that were mentors for you?
Yeah. Gosh, I mean, you know, one client in particular really kind of gave me a chance was Craig Wiseman. And, you know, he interviewed different lawyers, and we've worked together since, oh, I guess, 2001 or 2002, I believe. And so that's been a 16-year, you know, run.
Sure.
And he could have hired probably anybody. I think some of the attraction was I came at him with spreadsheets and business things rather than just sheer legalese. He wanted to be pretty entrepreneurial, pretty independent. And since then, you've seen him explode with, you know, Big Loud Shirt, and he had Big Loud Bucks and a worldwide admin company, and then now he's got Big Loud Records with some other partners, and you know, they're kind of off to the races, creating what I'd call that second generation of A&M Records, where you had the Almo Irving side that was publishing-driven, looking long-term, and you've got A&M Records that was looking long-term with different acts. Like, you know, we probably wouldn't know who Blues Traveler was or Janice Ian, you know, had A&M not doubled down on them.
Sure.
I think that's the goal of Big Loud, is they're trying to make sure that they can have long career arcs with artists rather than, hey, how'd that single do this year? You know?
Sure.
So he's been one. He's given me the leeway and even the personal, you know, there's been things that, you know, even advice that he gave me with my wife, you know.
Yeah.
So we've shared advice and stories over the years. As maybe dysfunctional brothers might do, but he's been great, and we have really, I think, done well with that type of scenario. And so I try to take that kind of open book approach with clients, where it's more of a strategic conversation than a legal conversation. Because in our business, as you know, you can find someone that or a group of people that can be the whole key to your career. And if I overdo or over-negotiate that agreement, then they may not feel as good about that. They may be the real chemistry that you needed.
Sure.
So, you know, the right partner is probably worth more than the right deal. So at that point, you've got to start to weigh that and listen to the client more. You've got to know the industry. You've got to know these people, you know, what they've done, what they're going to do, whether they're full of it or whether they're going to do it.
Sure.
You know, and... So that's the way my approach is more of a business approach, I'd say, than a lawyer approach.
Mm-hmm.
And it's made me happier. I enjoy that more, you know.
Yeah.
I like watching small businesses grow. They don't have to be music businesses. I just happen to know more in that area for copyright and from royalty perspective, so I operate from that point of strength more. But I really like watching small businesses grow, and that's what we do. I think we're under the radar, honestly. You look at Nashville, and there are all these publications with Nashville Business Journal or different publications that talk about funding deals. Mm-hmm. Nobody talks really about that $100,000 that they put into that writer, or that $200,000 that they, those are funding deals. Mm-hmm. And those are happening every day in the music business. And that's just a commonplace. It's been going on forever. But somebody else gets a first round of funding for $500,000, and it's in a press release.
Sure.
Somebody gets a publishing deal that's a three-year deal that adds up to $500,000. That's not really much of a press release. I mean, happens a little bit on Music Row. They got signed as a writer. But that's a funding deal. Yeah. And so I think if you can find the right funding partners in these new models and build out the team, that's where the power comes from in the new model. It's not necessarily that one person or that one deal. It's going to be this group of people doing good business together and being a little bit more collaborative in the future rather than, hey, we're going to push over the big domino and see how the single works. You know? So that's what we kind of see happening, and I like that.
I know it. Most of the team in your office and love all those guys, but one of the things I see all the time is their pictures in all these publications, right? And the part of that that's the actual question is it's so diverse from business owners, publishing deals, labels, artist signing, management. When you're coming into a process, and let's say you're representing the artist, what's your process when you're looking out of teammates?
Oh, gosh. It just, there's no one I mean, it's so different.
Yeah.
I mean, you just have to listen. I can, won't name the act, but there's an act that has come in recently. That has had counsel that left the firm, and so it went out interviewing counsel. And 27 million streams, got bookings going on, got major label interest, got independent label interest, got manager interest, all those things. And you just have to listen. I mean, you have to listen, and you have to start thinking through, well, what does this person really want? There's no one-size-fits-all. But you can take different experiences, I think, where you said, well, you know, I remember with that Big Head Todd, the Monsters deal in the 90s where we kept some masters or whatever that was. And I'm just, you know, hypothetically, all those
sure.
things. Like, so should we use that experience on the, you know, with this person? So we kind of take all those different ideas entrepreneurially and listen and then go, okay, well, this might work in this scenario. And then I'll get with our team and go, hey, here's a thought. And we're really, if there's one thing I think that sets us apart, it's our collaboration. I mean, I think we really, truly walk down the hall to each other and think through the processes and learn that way with our guys and
sure.
Girls in the office. And I think that's what really, really sets us apart is we really are a team. We're not, it's not one person, you know. And lots of times I'm pushing some of the younger lawyers out front, go, hey, man, call that guy back and talk to him about this issue because that's not really something that you have to put in an email. Just call him,
sure.
you know, and it's going to take you a lot longer to explain it to him.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I see a little bit in a younger generation. Everything's a little quicker. Mm-hmm. I'm becoming the old guy now, you know, and I'm pretty quick on emails. But what I see is sometimes you need to just pick the phone up, walk around it. I mean, you know, I mean, Craig Wiseman would tell you that the beginnings of Big Loud happened around, you know, me sketching it out on a piece of paper and four beers sitting around with partners.
Mm-hmm.
And that was how it started. It was very informally. Later, it took on a little bit more skeleton and bones and meat and
yeah.
all those. But in the beginning, it was, what do you think about this structure? What do you think about this? And it was more of that, the collaborative kind of SWOT analysis, but yet strategic analysis altogether of how's this going to work.
Yeah,
we're pretty that you just got to listen.
Yeah,
and figure out what their goals are, and then what the team's goals are. So there's, I don't have a great. I'm not sure I have an answer.
You know, no.
for that, I don't have a process other than I listen, and then I create a process after that.
Communication
yeah.
and listening.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
incredibly impactful.
It's all different
across the industry.
Yeah,
I see a lot of times it's. Wait on your turn to talk. That's not listening.
Yeah.
I can't help you if I'm not truly engaged.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's impactful.
I tend to talk a lot, but I'll say this. What I mean by listening is I ask the right questions and listen. Mm-hmm. Because that's one thing I see with a lot of the new acts is I'm not so sure that they are set up. I think they're what I see now is they're much more articulate about the law and their deals than they ever were. I see that like crazy. But what I don't see sometimes is they're digging into the next level of the detail. So like it's awesome because they're there, but there might be this one thing that I've seen that's really important. Like, well, if we do this consulting deal with this guy and he controls our deal points on our record deal, are you okay with that? I don't know about that, man. Maybe we should have mutual approval.
Sure.
Or maybe we should control it, and maybe they should ride herd. I mean, you know, there's a little fine line there of those points that all of a sudden you get to that table and you're like, oh, I didn't know. I don't have that right. Wow, really? So we have a lot of that goes on with new clients.
Sure.
Where they thought they had something and they didn't really.
I understand.
So that's what I see, that the role of the entertainment lawyer is probably more important than it's ever been, because everything's changing so fast.
I tell every student, every up-and-coming artist, they're like, well, how do I get a label? How do I get an agent? I'm like, first, let's get you an attorney. Yeah. Then let's get you a CPA if you're making any cash, and we'll figure out the rest later.
Yeah. You probably need a lawyer. We do push a lot of clients away, like, hey, we got this, but go do this and come back.
Sure.
But really, the need is, like you said, I think earlier now than ever.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these deals are funding deals now. So it's not that, hey, I've got a publishing deal. No, no, you have a publishing, production, and a management deal. Did you know? I mean, that's all in here.
Sure.
You know, and so that's a different animal than what it used to be. Yeah.
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 If it wasn't music, do you think it would have been sports, or do you think it would just been law of whatever form it took?
Media. Mm-hmm. Media, just because I was working in TV and radio, and I thought I'd go back to that. Sure. I love radio. I just love the spoken word, and you know, it's just what I grew up on. So,
yeah.
You know, having John Ward or Muncy or Eli Ball paint a picture of a game, you know, is a true art form.
Sure.
You know? So, I like that.
The industry, as many moving pieces and as rapidly as it changes, what do you think your favorite part of working in it is? Is it the artist? Is it the songs? Is it the actual process of not just the negotiation necessarily, but building something? Like, what's your favorite thing? You go home at the end of the day and you're like,
yeah,
that was cool. We did that.
Yeah, I can tell you, it's changing someone's life.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I like doing. I mean, is for the better, you know, of course. I have this kind of mantra that I say to my clients is, I want to make you more money than you will ever pay me. That's my goal. I think that every day. Mm-hmm. So if I can be more efficient in my work, if I can do deals that say that help you keep your assets and grow them, or if I can help you monetize your assets better, I make good life decisions for you. And that may mean literally, hey, man, I am really thinking about this divorce, and hey, have you been to counseling yet? I mean, are you ready? Are you ready for this? I mean, you know,
sure.
It can go to that end, or it can go to crisis management issues that we've had that deal with some of the shootings that have happened lately. And, you know, we've been very proud of the way that the Aldean team has handled everything that went on after the Vegas shootings. Yeah. And, you know, there are some things we helped, our lawyers really helped them deal with that were really important on more of a spiritual and a life level, you know. So, all those things that change people's lives, that's why I like it now. I mean, otherwise it'd be playing baseball, you know.
Yeah.
That's what I want to do, you know.
Well, it's because of people that approach business and approach relationships that way that allows other entrepreneurs like myself and some of my colleagues to stand on your shoulders. What are the guiding principles behind those decisions that you make? What are your values when you go in to make decisions like that?
I'm laughing because I'm going to think this is a quote. This is a Craig Wiseman quote. And it's just, I look back at it, it's so funny. He just said, Derek, let's put these deals together and let's just send them out and let everybody see them. And we're just going to, let's do it that way. Let's do it the opposite way. And let's just not be bastards. Let's just not be bastards, and everything's going to be great. I'm like, You know, you're right. I mean, you know, there was this time in the business where it was all taking, and now it's all collaborative. And so, you know, I'm not sure if that's the best mantra, but it works. And it's really true.
The truth.
So I just think back on that and I laugh. I mean, there's so many Wiseman, you know, things that through the years. And if you know that guy, he's always got something crazy and funny and witty to say, you know? So, that's one is just, you know, all these deals are going to come around. And I've done some deals in the past when I was younger that were like, man, we got that one, you know? And sometimes you can grind them out so far that there's nothing left. And there's no incentive for anybody. So this morning on the way over here, the parties were switched in a paragraph, and we talked to the other council and said, hey, man, you switched the parties about how we collected money instead of them.
Sure.
And that was not correct. I mean, it's something you do because you're going to deal with that. We've dealt with those lawyers 5 or 6 times on different deals, and we know that we can trust each other to do that.
Sure.
And that's just a mistake that would have shown itself. Well, let's clear it up right now, you know.
Of course.
So, don't be bastards, I guess.
I'm going to get a T-shirt that says that. Start passing that around town.
Yeah.
What are the core skills for someone who's in a leadership position like yourself? If someone wanted to build a business or build a firm, what does it take to...
Don't sleep. Yeah, you can sleep later.
Yeah.
I don't know anything else but hard work. You know, that's one. Just working hard, being thoughtful. You know, taking the call on the weekend, all those things, you know, that you just do. But, you know, I like so many of my clients that it's easier, you know. We really do truly get along. And I'd say that's the other thing we like. We like people, you know. So that helps a lot. If you don't like people, probably not a good business for you, you know. So,
did you see a lot as you were coming up? Obviously, the law is the law. But through your process of navigating your way through it, when did you see it change from kind of gut, like you just kind of knew from what you've been taught, to craft, to actually becoming great at what you do?
That's a great question, because I don't know if I haven't, I mean, I still don't feel like the craft is, we work at it every day.
Sure.
So it changes, you know?
Always a moving really target. Stop. About the time you almost grab it, it's further ahead again.
And I've never really had that much gut, because I loved music growing up, like just innately loved it, but couldn't create it. Couldn't say this person is going to make it. You know, I could say that person is extremely talented. But I didn't have a lot of gut when it came to music other than, man, I love that song. Or I love that, you know.
Sure.
And sometimes what I loved was not what's going on at radio. So I'm not so sure I had gut. Now, from a legal perspective, the only gut I would tell you is that I just took the idea once I committed. And I didn't commit to trying to be a great lawyer till about 7 years after I started practicing law. So I was very lost in the beginning, thought I'd be a sports lawyer or whatever. And I just said, you know, I'm going to commit to being a better lawyer every day. I don't know what that means. That might mean going to court. That might mean filing a disability action. It might mean wills and trusts. It might be talking somebody through divorce or whatever. But I'm going to commit to that. And I'm not going to commit to being a music lawyer. I'm just going to commit to being a better lawyer. And at that point, that was probably about 99, 2000. Every year, things got a little better and a little better from a practice perspective and a life perspective. So that's the only thing I could, my 2 cents on committing. Just committing all the way to the craft. I'm not sure I have any gut about what was awesome or great other than, I'm going to do this, you know.
Well, so when I first had met you, it was still the Crown Over firm.
Yeah.
What was the most challenging part about launching your own company and being an entrepreneur?
Watching the cash flow. You just got to watch it. And, you know, you just got to, every day, you got to know where you are. I mean, you got to kind of be a QuickBooks fiend, I think, if you're an entrepreneur. You've got or whatever that, you know, accounting package is. That's one. I think then, you know, committing to your client and not so worried about what the fee is. And even though you're worried about cash flow, you can't really be too worried about that in our business. You got to really commit to the client and go, you know what, I'm going to hold the bill. I'm going to work through it. I'm going to figure out how to help them now. so that when they do have that money coming later, they know that we're doing the right thing.
Sure.
We're not just trying to work off a fee.
Yeah.
So yeah, that would be it, is watching the cash flow, committing to the client, focused on that.
That means pull an all-nighter,
whatever sure. it means, do it. Yeah. Seems like you told me you did that the other day, didn't you?
I do it every day, really. Every day.
I nailed it earlier about.
Yeah. I'm trading in sleep for future.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know Brian Jones, agent here in town.
Uh-huh. Yes, I know who he is.
Yeah. He taught me a very important lesson early on, was don't trade your short-term greed for your long-term greed. And I state it every day to the staff. I state it to clients. So
yeah. It's good mantra.
Spot on true.
Yeah.
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 What are you most excited about, kind of trends coming down the pipeline? You touched on some of the changes of structure and how artists and people approach it more from entrepreneurial.
Yeah.
Is that something you see that's going to stick around? Or
I think the recent CR, in my world, the CRB ruling that came out with the uptick in publishing money, you're going to see, it's going to take a second, but you're going to see that kind of stabilize a little bit more the publishers around. I think the monetization of streaming becoming real in the next 3 to 5 years is going to be, I think once that kind of stabilizes from a streaming perspective, which you're going to probably see in the next 3 to 5 years, you'll probably be able to figure out more of these values now from a more stable perspective rather than a risk perspective. The CRB ruling is a big one. I think collaborative working with teams is a big one that's just going to continue to happen.
Sure.
Finding ways, I guess, to retain these assets until you know what they're worth. So many times you pre-sell them or do a deal so early, and now you have to renegotiate them. I think you may see some folks not renegotiate. You're just going to say, well, that was the deal. And you've lost that asset. Now go make another one.
Yeah.
When before it was like, well, if we're going to deliver another record to you, we want to claw back some rights. Or if we're going to extend this thing, we're going to claw back some rights. You may not see that as much in the future. So you got to be more concerned about what that looks like now rather than just, oh, we'll deal with it when we get there and we have leverage and we've made a lot of money. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, that stream may have already been carved out and sold to 3 other parties. So you might not be dealing with the same party on that renegotiation that you were before.
Okay.
Yeah.
22 years in legal. You've built a lot. You've touched a lot of lives. You've led a lot of people. Negotiated some of the biggest acquisitions and mergers in the city's history. Everything ends tomorrow. What do you want your legacy to be?
Good dad. Yeah, I got a 7-year-old and a 3-year-old, and I'm having fun.
I see their pictures. What are you feeding? They're growing weeds.
Weeds, yeah. It's been great. I was a little late to the game, but it's been great. I mean, I really enjoy them. One good husband, and just would love to help some of the younger lawyers, some of the folks in the business, you know, have that entrepreneurial spirit to continue to make Nashville that place where you come. I do think it's like Rome of publishing, where, you know, it was older than rock and roll. It started here before a lot of other places. We understand it well. We understand, we respect copyright here. We've got some folks that are really putting Nashville on the map in that type of way, where, you know, Jimmy Bowen has it's kind of tangentially become a client. And he said at a Martell event, it's really Music City now. Yeah, you know, we talked about it as Music City, but it is now Music City.
Officially.
Yeah. And I think all that's real. I think you can lend that to the Taylor Swifts, the Scott Swifts, the Scott Borchetta, the Craig Wisemans, the Frank Liddells. I mean, these guys that were slogging it out every day, the Toby Keith, they're very independent, they're very entrepreneurial, they think that way, they work that way. So that has created that power base, including the sounds that have changed, like Sam Hunt. I mean, that's, you know, is Body Like a Back Road, Crossing Over,
Florida Georgia Line,
Cruise, you know?
Yeah.
Brad. I mean, guys like Brad Belanger, they're the second level that are going to put keep Nashville on the map. Absolutely. On that area. So
he was fascinating.
Yeah, he's
digging into his process.
We call him the Tasmanian Devil.
Oh, you
he's
ain't
just
kidding.
Twirl him up and just got to keep in a lane.
Exactly. Yeah, as soon as I started talking, I was like, he's going to be fine.
Yeah, I love Brad. I'll share a story. And I said this. And I probably did. We met, and he said, "You told me that I couldn't afford you," and I said, well, you probably couldn't, because it was the truth. It's like, yeah, I guess it was.
he's an awesome guy. So one of the
he can afford me now.
Yeah, no kidding, right? One of the things we always do to wrap up, and the name of the show is The Golden Rule, is we always want to leave some people with some different value for different parts of their lives.
Yeah.
So it's form, FORM, family, occupation, recreation, motivation. So I'll just go through one at a time.
Yeah.
You just give me your golden rules on each, whatever your truths are. So golden rules for family.
Commit, and you know, vacuum. Do the stuff that you might not want to do.
Sure,
and do it with joy. You know, and commit.
Yeah. Golden rules for occupation.
Work. You know, just sheer work and client focus. Yeah.
Golden rules for recreation.
I can't, you know, I don't, I play some tennis, but, you know, my buddies from college have said I've eaten a Backstreet Boy since then, so I don't know if I have.
Hey, we get it all the time in here that when you're incredibly dedicated and passionate,
balance is
working
hard.
Work. Yeah. I don't mind putting in 15 hours.
Right.
I don't even count it.
Right.
The staff left the other day, and I sincerely had a thought in my mind. I've got 8 full hours, and that was after a full day that I can get stuff done. I didn't see it as anything other than...
That was your recreation.
That was my recreation. Yeah, I'm like, man, think of all the stuff I'm going to get done this afternoon. So I haven't seen a lot of work life in between the people that have been on the show that are incredibly impactful at what they do.
Yeah, so. I'm doing more now with my family, you know, coaching or helping, that kind of thing. Yeah. So
golden rules for motivation.
Gosh, I mean, you know, your day could be so much worse somewhere else. I mean, you know, just count your blessings. That's what I do every day. I mean, you know, again, to go back to Craig Wiseman, you know, he said he learned a long time ago that his worst gig was behind him. Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, same here. I mean, you know, there's a lot of days that you don't maybe have the motivation, but then you start to look around, you're like, what am I thinking? Are you kidding me? I mean, live such a charmed life and so lucky and to have kids and do they're healthy and, you know, and have a business and a practice and work with people you like to work with. I mean, there's no problem being motivated. I mean, you know, it's all there.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, those are the golden rules for this.
Yeah.
For this guest, guys.
And don't be bastards.
Don't be bastards. Care. Don't be afraid to work your ass off. Communicate. Vacuum. Do the stuff you don't want to do, because that's the separateness between success and not success. Care, lead, give. Those are the rules today. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Tim.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man. For anybody that's trying to follow a dream, no holding back, you'll get it by any means. Idols on a wall, you cut out from magazines. Full of self-esteem, nobody can intervene. Ready for the shine, you never need in the shade. This is for the boss that never gave you a raise. This is for every time you ever tried to create, and no one understood, they never gave you the space. Walking up to you, they trying to give you the crown. Look into your eyes and tell you you one of us. Every time you turn around and face the crowd, be ready cause your time is now.